And welcome back to St. Anne's Park. Just getting myself comfortable here. Welcome to St. Anne's Park, where we're down here for the Rose Festival. And now I'm talking to Jamie Durant from Boardwatch Ireland. How are you, Jamie?
How's things? Hey, how are you doing?
Okay, now you have the stand here today. Before we talk about Boardwatch Ireland itself, what do you think of all the controversy about seagulls that's going on?
Yeah, what a lot of people don't realise is that gulls, there's actually no such thing as seagulls. If you want to wind a bird up, say the word seagull and just watch it. Yeah, they're gulls. Gulls are actually down 80-90% in the past 20 years in Ireland. The reason that we're seeing them now is because their natural nesting grounds are not really available to them. There is some argument that maybe their natural food sources are becoming more difficult to access, you know, that with the water changes in sea temperature. So they've just been driven in and closer to people, which is why we're seeing them. So actually, and on top of that as well, it's just a really easy source of food. If people are chucking chips and kebabs on the ground all the time, it's just a really easy source of food. So some people say to me, well, I don't like them because they're dirty. It's actually because we're dirty. That's why they're living with us.
Yeah. So would you like, the way the fox has become urbanized now, the seagull is the same coming into the city for the same reason, more or less?
Well, yeah, it's just, let's say, that the natural source of food may be more difficult to get hold of. Their natural nesting sites have been disturbed. And also, you know, the rooftops, they've maybe just discovered this as well. The rooftops are really nice, safe places for them. In essence, it's an island. You know, that they like breeding on islands where predators like rats and foxes can't get at them. Well, rats and foxes can't get at them up on the rooftops. We're providing a nice easy source of food for them, so they're just moving in close to us. And yeah, I know they can get a little bit boisterous during the breeding season, but you know, for me, it's wildlife, that and all wildlife's amazing, really. And if we just make a little bit of allowance for it, we can all live together, I'd say.
Yeah,
really.
It's a wonderful animal. It's crazy. I mean, the statements that were made during the week about culling and all like that.
Yeah,
I mean, but from who it came from.
Yeah.
When it comes from the government, it's nonsense.
Well,
really.
I would say that there's someone made a very interesting point to me, that it's that the education about wildlife wasn't on the national curriculum right up until the 80s. I think I'm right in saying. So the people making decisions were never really educated about wildlife. So if they'd like to learn more about wildlife, they can come along and talk to us, and we'll quite happily. I mean, where we're sitting here right now, we are just less than half a kilometre away from Bull Island. Bull Island is one of the most amazing resources that Dublin has. It really is. I don't think there's any other capital city in the whole of Europe can boast the wildlife resource that Dublin has. If anyone just goes for a walk down Bull Island with just a cheap pair of binoculars that you can pick up for 20 quid or something, going for a walk on Bull Island, and you will see such a range of amazing wildlife that will totally blow your mind. And it's right there on the doorstep, and we're quite happy to tell people about it. If people want to come and talk to us at the show, we can educate them about the wildlife and about what an amazing resource it is. And to say that they should be culled is, I mean, like I say, they're already down 90%. If you look, we have a traffic light system of conservation concern, red, amber, and green being safe, obviously. Herring gull and black-headed gull are on the red list. The numbers are down massively already. And like
how
I say,
how come that hasn't been said?
Well, just because it's one of these birds that they're not pretty, they don't have a nice song, so,
I think of nice white seagulls for any.
Well,
pretty.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree, obviously, but, you know, they're one of these birds that's quite big and boisterous, and it's any of the big, boisterous birds people don't seem to be so kind of enamoured with, so, and you know, I mean, I don't know, it's difficult for me to say, because obviously I think all birds are amazing. I find it difficult to get into the mindset of anyone that finds them a problem.
I can hear your enthusiasm, but because of wildlife programmes and that you've seen the telly, are people getting more and more interested in the biodiversity and wildlife than they ever had been before?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, and this is what I was saying, you know, that, and also just the education in schools, that the fact that kids are being introduced to it at an earlier age, that's the best way, is if you can get kids interested really early on, it's something, it's a kind of it's an interest that will take you through life. Wherever you are, there's always going to be something interesting to see and something new to see, you know. It's a great hobby to have.
And is there more of it in the cities now, like the gulls, like the foxes, other species now in the city because of what's happened?
Well, I'd say it's also just because people, a really great example is goldfinches. It's a bird that has discovered bird feeders. First they discovered the peanuts, and then you can get this specialist food called Niger seed, which brings them in. And just the range of bird food that's available now, if you go to the Birdwatch Island website, we have a shop there as well. You can buy all this specialist seed. Just brings the birds in closer, gives you a chance to see them and have a look at them and and see their colours, see their behaviour. So, yeah, I mean, it's also, you know, that people are looking after their gardens that bit better. It's something as well that, you know, in a bit of a downturn, people seem to enjoy looking after the gardens. It's something to brighten up the day.
Fascinating thing. I was talking to one of the ladies from Dublin City Council. I think she's involved with the biodiversity.
Yeah.
And she was talking about, I think it was a finch, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But she was saying it sleeps, it never lands.
Oh, that would be a swift.
Swift.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that possible?
Oh, it's swifts. You've got me going now. I could genuinely talk about swifts all day. It's a project that Birdwatch Ireland are doing in conjunction with the City Council.
Okay.
We're doing a survey of swifts all throughout. If you go to the Birdwatch Ireland website, just look for swifts. You can read about it and how you can help. It's a bird that, like you're saying, that when they throw themselves out of the nest for the first time, they will not touch anything solid again for at least 3 years. They will just sleep on the air, they eat in the air, they mate in the air, they bathe themselves in the air.
Wow.
And in fact, if they could find a way of carrying their egg with them, they would never touch ground. The only reason they ever touch ground is to come and lay their eggs.
If they had to land somewhere at some time, what would their natural habitat be?
Well, if there was no houses, if there was no people, they would be in kind of crevices in cliffs and in rock ledges, things like that.
Okay.
So they then come to houses and they slip themselves under the eaves. Now, if people have swallows or house martins, they will know these birds which fly around and they build a mud nest on the outside of your house. They stick it onto them. Swifts don't do that because one of the main reasons is swifts can't actually land. If they land on the ground in front of you, they can't take off again. Their feet are so reduced in order for aerodynamic reasons, they can't do that little jump that birds do when they take off. So because they can't land, that consequently means they can't collect mud. They can't build a nest on the side of your house. So they go into the little crevices.
And how big are they?
They're a decent size. Like, I mean, you're talking, top of my head, 20 centimetres wingspan, something like that. So, and they're bigger than a swallow. Quite a sizable bird. And strangely as well, I was just telling my friend this, they're not actually related to the swallows and the house martins. Crazily, they're more closely related to hummingbirds than they are to swifts and swallows and house martins.
Do they hibernate and travel far?
No, they go to Africa. So when I was saying to you about these birds not touching ground, let's say, for example, one of these swifts leaves your house. Say its nest leaves your house. If it leaves your house this summer, it will fly down to Africa for this winter. It'll probably spend next summer, 2015, in Africa, all summer and then all winter. Then 2016, it'll come back. It's only 2 years old. It probably won't be quite ready to breed. It'll fly around, and you get these parties of them flying around and screaming at each other.
What do they live on?
Well, they live on insects, and also, strangely, even though they're only feeding on aerial food, spiders forms a big part of their diet. You know when spiders do this ballooning thing catch on the silk? They actually eat quite a lot of them. I believe that someone once they build a ball of food in their throat, which they then feed to their chicks. Someone once found 200 different species of insects in this ball of insects in their throat. So then, back to this bird here, it's Senya. It will come back to our island, fly around, not actually nest, which means it hasn't landed yet. The next winter, it will go back to Africa, and then in its third year of its life, after 3 years having left the nest on its first ever flight, it will find a nest crevice. It does this, I can't remember the name, it's called clapping, where it bangs on a hole to check there's no one in there. It will go into that hole, settle down, make a nest. 3 years after it took off for the first time, that is the first time it's going to touch ground again.
Is it a bird that's peculiar to Ireland then?
It's a bird, you find it all the way across Europe.
Right
the way across into Russia. But it is a bird that's on the decline. Partly just because people, the houses aren't as walkety as they used to be. There isn't those holes under the eaves that there used to be. Everyone's sort of doing the houses up, so they're kind of getting evicted everywhere.
Anyway. And is there a species of animals, birds, that are a bit particular to Ireland?
There's only three species which we don't have a full-on species, but you have a separate Irish race.
Okay.
So the red grouse, the jay, and the coltit. So the jay is a good example. It's a big pink member of the crow family, which the Irish jay is different to the British jay. I told a great little story about a guy. He was putting together an exhibition of stuffed birds, and the only jay he could get was a British jay.
Okay.
And he was saying to his friend, I can't be putting this out. It's supposed to be Irish birds. And he says, ah, sure, no one will know. The very first day, someone came in and said, excuse me, why have you got a British jay, not an Irish jay? So there's always someone who knows.
Okay, you're here at the Rose Festival for the 2 days, I'm sure. Yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you're up near the Red Stables, I think.
Yeah, right opposite, pretty much. If you're leaving the Red Stables behind you, walk straight ahead. There's a little semicircle of all the charities there. We're in there. Come and have a chat.
I'll talk to you there. It'll be up to you to talk to you some more in a few minutes.
Look forward to it.
But thank you very much for the moment. That's Jamie Durand from Birdwatch. Do drop in. Fascinating stuff. Thank you.